welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's game against Airdrie, preview this week's two matches, and we'll hear from Hamish Ritchie and Naya Payne. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as always, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. Recovered after a couple of weeks ago. No coughs, nothing. It's fine.
Feeling better.
Feeling a lot better than I was after that. Carry on. But fine. Cold weather again, but I can't complain too much.
It's Scotland. You should always expect cold weather up here by now.
Dean Smith's getting out of the storms now, so it's fine. So they can keep it at the moment. Right, so before we move on to Saturday's game, I think we'll just briefly touch on last Monday's game against Dundee. We didn't get a chance to really do it. I know it's been a week since then, but I think it's just really worth mentioning a couple of things. As an event, I think in terms of like the amount of crowd that was there and just the whole kind of spectacle with the TV being there, it was fine to see, and I kind of actually ended up enjoying it. I wasn't really looking forward to it too much considering how we were, it got me playing coming into that game and how Dundee were playing as well. It didn't really make for an exciting game, but overall it was good to enjoy again.
Yeah, I thought it was a good spectacle. As you said, I thought it was a good crowd as well, just over 1,500, which, considering the game was moved from what I thought was going to be a Saturday afternoon to a Monday night, I was quite surprised at the actual attendance, so it was a good thing. And as you said, going into the game, the form that we were on, and Dundee obviously in the back of just beating Hearts at Tynecastle as well, I was a little bit fearful, but credit to the guys who put in a really good performance, and I think 3-0 flattered Dundee in the end, if I'm being honest.
I noted you said you were quietly optimistic before kickoff.
Yeah, I was, and I think you know, as you said, with this, if the cameras being here and the crowd, and there hadn't really been a shock in the cup, and I just felt that with Hearts getting beat by Dundee, that their tails would have been up. They put out a strong team. I just felt that, you know, if we could have got our noses in front, I thought we'd have done all right. But you know, if you look over the 90 minutes, I think Dundee maybe had four shots on target and they scored three of them. I thought we gave a really good account of ourselves, and like I said, I think 3-0 sort of flattered them.
I think the difference between the two sides, and we sort of speak about how young this team is, I think the difference that Dundee had was the fact that they had likes of Charlie Adam and Niall McGinn. Yeah. Just that little bit of experience. They didn't do a lot during the game, but they did enough at the right times, and that kind of showed for me the difference in class, and you know, even with their ages, they've still kind of got it, if you like.
Yeah, I think the first 15-20 minutes we came at them, you know, all guns blazing. And about 15-20 minutes in, you've seen Charlie Adam and Niall McGinn and a few of the other guys just telling each other to calm down. I think they realised the importance of just settling in the game. That experience sort of came through towards the end, especially in the second half. I thought Charlie Adam sort of strolled the second half. He was like the spare man for Dundee in midfield. He controlled it. All the good stuff was going through in the passing. So, yeah, that experience was invaluable for Dundee in the night.
And I think we were unlucky. Hamish Ritchie had hit the post at one point as well. And, you know, at that kind of stage, it could have been anybody's game if that had gone on.
Yeah, like I said, I think if I'd gotten an early goal and got my nose in front, I think we'd have done well in the game. The fact that we didn't, and obviously they took the lead through a penalty, the heads just dropped ever so slightly. Like I said, I felt the first goal was important, but there was also the penalty incident right on half time as well. I think if a referee had given that and you scored, it could have been a completely different second half, the way the team talks would have gone. But as I go back to, I thought the guys got a really good account of themselves.
Let's mention the two penalties, and the first one for Dundee, I don't think there's too much arguments with
No.
I think Brett's just a little bit half a step too slow in getting out. There is an argument that maybe McMullen has played for it because the ball's gone so far, but I think as soon as Brett uses his feet, he kind of gives the referee no option really.
Yeah, I think he's looking for it. I think you'd call it an experienced player. He realises the keeper's going to be coming for it, that he's unlikely to get it, and then you know, Mullen's made sure the referee's noted that he's been caught, and yeah, really no complaints about it.
And the one that we didn't get right on half time, we've had a week to think about it. Any explanation as to why it wasn't?
Because we're a League One team. Is the only explanation.
Other than that, yeah, it's the most baffling one that you'll ever see.
But you can look back a thousand times, but the referee's got to see it. I mean, if you're being super critical as well, the linesman, he'd an unopposed view as well. Obviously, he's on the far side of it, but he's looking right across. How they've come to the decision that it's not a penalty, I don't know. I think what annoyed me 60 seconds later is there's a foul on the edge of the box for a similar sort of challenge. It's just a coming together, and he's given a free kick, and he's actually booked the Dundee player for it as well. But yeah, he did get a penalty. I think some folk running about were appealing for a red card as well. I think, you know, just getting the penalty would have been the first award. But yeah, how he's not given it, I don't know.
And I guess it was written in the stars that Josh Mulligan would come off the bench and score. You know, he was pretty quiet for large spells, but then scored that wonderful goal right at the end. And that's just typical of what we've seen from Josh at the start of the first half of the season.
Yeah, really good finish. Took it well. Give him credit for the celebration as well. Very muted. Thought he showed a lot of respect. So, you know, Pia has given him that platform to go and play in Dundee's first team. It's not the first time he's made an appearance for them, so he is getting games. I think he appreciated the loan spell that he had with us. Obviously, he's been recalled because he has been playing well. And it was nice to see it was a good goal. Pleased for him. You know, it's the last goal of the game, but a very well muted celebration, very respectful.
Yeah, it was a good night. I think it probably for the club would have been more beneficial had it been on the Saturday, but that's the joys of TV, I guess. They get to kind of dictate these things. But as I said, it was a good performance. Certainly wasn't a 3-0 game, and it certainly flattered Dundee, but it certainly didn't help Mick Pake anyway, because he was sacked a couple of days later. So it's maybe the punishment for getting for being Peter Heath. Right, let's move on to Saturday's game then. Airdrie at home, a team that we just kind of seem to beat at the moment. Thoughts in the game before we sort of go through it. Very much echoed the kind of performance we had against Dundee, even against Alloa as well. A lot of the ball, but just not getting the ball in the net in the end.
Yeah, it seems to be the story the last, 7-8 weeks. A lot of possession, a lot of good football in midfield, but, you know, we're really lacking that cutting edge. Again, every team's crying out for a goal scorer, but certainly I think if we had a player that would score you a few more goals, that we wouldn't be in the situation we're at now. Yeah, and it's a bit of a concern, but I just didn't feel we did enough on Saturday to win the game, but equally I didn't feel that we should have lost it. I don't think Airdrie were anything spectacular given their league position. So yeah, again, it's another game that you chalk off, I think, what if.
He was going to start with the same lineup as he did against Dundee, which is something that he doesn't get the opportunity to do too much. But Ryan Conroy got injured during the warm-up, so Rico Katongo came in at left-back, and Flynn Duffy went over to right-back, which, as we can, well, maybe as we'll touch on later on, it just certainly wasn't a position he felt comfortable in.
No, if ever there was a position that Flynn Duffy, I think, wouldn't have felt comfortable as playing right back. He is very naturally left footed. Ken Conroy's played there and he is left footed, but Flynn's at the very start of his career. To put him in a position like that he's, you know, very uncomfortable with. Whilst I'm sure he's one of them guys that's happy to play anywhere, I don't think right back would be up in his list of priorities.
Yeah, and it was that 4-3-3 for me, and I say 4-3-3, it's more of it's a wide 4-3-3, almost a 4-5-1, paying through the middle, and then you had Richie wide left and Duncan on the right, Savory, Scott Brown and McCarthy in midfield, and that six alone, you know, they're very forward thinking, all young, very good players, so with that six there, you think you've got a good setup there.
Yeah, it's a good setup. I'm not quite sure, and we've had this conversation as well, I'm not quite sure the formation suits them. As you probably do in your comments there, it's quite a wide 4-3-3, and I sometimes think that the striker's quite isolated, and for him to get involved in the game, he's to come deeper, which then doesn't give you that player in behind. So it maybe is, with the three that we've got in midfield, it maybe needs to become a 4-2-3-1, sort of that link-up play. I just feel whilst we're now shipping goals at, you know, 2, 3, 4 a game, I just don't feel we're much of a threat either going forward.
And the first 10 minutes, I thought, you know, first 10, 15 minutes with a lot of the ball, were very good. But it took us about the 18th minute before we actually tested Max Curry in the goal, and I think that was maybe a platform for how the rest of the game was going to go. It was, you know, lots of possession, but not really testing the keeper enough.
Yeah, it's something we've said for a few weeks now, that we get a lot of the ball, you try and get into good areas, but we just mentioned that a few weeks back. If you don't buy a lottery ticket, you want to win. A thumb time thing, we need to take shots made often. You get to the edge of the box and the ball goes wide, and again, you're trying to work it in the box, get a better position. But sometimes you've got to hit a dig. Sometimes you've just got to get a shot off. Things can happen. Make the keeper think you're going to take a shot. Otherwise, it's too easy for a keeper and their defence to be settled because they're expecting a ball in the box. Just sometimes think you've got to hit a shot made often.
McCarthy's effort was for range. And I think if you're saying there about, you know, just having a pop, I think the longer we go without scoring, there's that kind of, well, I don't want to be the one that takes a shot because it's going to go way over the stand and over the crossbar, and then that's just going to kill the confidence even more. Whereas if a team is firing on all cylinders, you know, they're hitting shots for here, there, and our way because they're confident, and it's just one of that kind of things. Well, it's a vicious circle, really, isn't it? You can't score goals for range unless you take the shots, and if you don't take the shots, you will never score. And if you don't score, then you don't want to take the shots. So it's that kind of almost feel of kind of uncertainty. You have to kind of, as you said, just have a pop noon again.
Just sometimes think we're too easy to play against. I feel, especially if you're in the opposition, that if you play with a back four, very easy at the moment to defend against Peterhead because you know that the ball's going to go wide. He's going to go wide to Nia Payne, who's going to cut in from the left on his right, and he's going to go to Ryan Duncan, who's going to cut in from the right on his left foot. And I just think it's a wee bit too predictable, which is why you need players like Scott Brown, Grant Savory, Hamish Ritchie, Andy McCarthy. Take a dig. 20 yards, 25 yards out. We've seen it the other night against Dundee, we hit the post. Andy McCarthy's hit the post the other week as well. So they're close, they just need that one effort to go in. Because there is quality in the squad, but if you're not taking shots, you're not going to score a goal. And at the moment, that's far where problems really are. Because you know now that if you concede one, it's a real uphill task to get back into the match.
Yeah, and we always say, and we have been saying for a while, you know, try not to concede too early. And I think we said it before the game, you know, if we'll be doing well if we don't concede within the first 20 minutes, which we didn't. It was near our 28 before they scored, but just before that, I think the best chance of the game up until then fell to Peterhead, and I guess this movie just kind of sums up how things are going. The Kitongo's run down that left hand side, you know, he's got up to the byline, he's cut in, he's got across right across the 6 yard box, and nobody can sort of bundle it in. Brilliant play again, Savory pounding with a brilliant pass, and Kitongo coming for left back all the way up to the left wing, up to the corner flag almost, and as I said, got a ball in, but just nobody there to poke at him.
Yeah, it's the end product, it's not quite there. Like we said, we're getting good positions, a good ball across, as you said, just you're missing that player with a goal scoring instinct to be on the end of it, anticipate something happening. It's not quite happening. Even your attacking midfielders, one of them making a late surge in the box might have been beneficial there, but it's like I said, we're going about small margins. It's that little things, the difference between scoring and not scoring.
It was blocked on the line, or if it was just, you know, the defender had slid in and stopped the figure in, but eventually it fell to Grant Savory, who continued his run forward, which was good. Got himself in the box, and from about 12 yards out, he's fired it over the bar, and that's what we're saying about, you know, the confidence to just hit it. Now, he's maybe being a bit anxious, and he's come at him a little bit quicker rather than sort of just you know, finding the target, because I think Curry was well out of the game at that time. And if he just finds the target, it's going to be a goal.
Aye, I think it's one of them. They're desperate to score, so he's maybe hit it too quickly.
Yeah.
You know, there might be an argument to say he could have taken a touch. There is players in a boom. It has come at him pretty quick. But again, if a player's got confidence, they would make the right decision there. But obviously, he's put it well over the bar. Just that small things in football, confidence plays a huge factor. You can yourself that when you go on a bad run, it's difficult to get away. But the same when you're on a winning run, everything seems to come off for you.
And predictably, as I said, you know, we missed that great chance, and then almost immediately, Airdrie go up to the other end and score. virtually, I think, their first shot and goal. I think they maybe had one earlier on. Brett Long had saved at his feet. It was a comfortable save. But, you know, we could pick the bones out of this one again. But, you know, Gallagher, he's picked up a loose ball just inside the Peterhead half. And then their left back, Patterson, has gotten a lot of space doing the left-hand side, and it's found a cross. I think initially maybe some folk was questioning Flynn's positioning, but I think, having seen it again, Flynn's position is okay. He's come inside to help out with centre-halves. I think maybe Ryan Duncan could have maybe tracked back a little bit quicker. You know, he eventually gets there, but he's maybe, again, hark back to being young players and they're still learning the game, but maybe just in the process of still learning the game, just spot the guy running by you and just track him a little bit.
Yeah, it's maybe the danger with a young side that they'll recognise the danger if it's maybe a fraction too late. Had I seen the highlights back, I was one of them that was maybe questioning Flynn's position, and obviously you've seen it back. Maybe could have got more support. I just felt that Flynn was maybe too far over, that his body was a wee bit too square rather than seeing the danger. Mm. But, you know, there's still a lot of work to do from that position.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's gone, what, 30 yards to get to the byline.
Yeah.
So it's not just a case of that was straight away a shot. There's a lot to do. And even in the end, Finn, I can't remember how far was it mishit their shot. Was maybe it had been Gallagher. And it fell to Alfanavi the second time, because he's actually mishit it as well. So there's two mishits in there, and it's fallen to him, and he's eventually put it in. So yeah, as you said, there's a lot still for them to do from where they were to get the ball in the net.
Yeah, but as you said, it's maybe just the younger players realising the danger a little bit quicker. But that'll come over time. But that's the risk that you've got when you play with a young team. Those potential areas of danger aren't picked up as quick as what you'd like.
And after about that, for the next 10 minutes, and I think Jim said it in his post-match as well, that he felt that was probably the worst sort of 10 minutes of the game in terms of Peterhead's play. You just felt, and I think you said it earlier on, it's once we'd gone 1-0 down, there was almost this kind of feeling that, all right, here we go again. We're not going to get back into this. You know, as I said earlier, if we were a team that was banging in the goals, you go one behind, you think, oh, that's all right, we'll get these two goals and we'll still win the game. When you're really struggling, you go one behind. Even that early in the game, the heads start to go down, and it was visible just how, you know, the shoulders had dropped a little bit, and you just kind of felt the anxiety maybe just within the stadium as well a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree. Especially when the goal went in for Airdrie, you just felt round about you. You just felt that, like, sigh of people round about that. You just felt, yeah, we've conceded and knew we were going to struggle. Like I said, I didn't think Airdrie were that great, if I'm being honest, given their league position and the form that they've been in.
Mm-hmm.
You just felt that if we were in a better form, that we could have, you know, potentially won the game. But you go a goal down, and as I said, we're creating half chances, but nothing really to write home about, and we're not taking them. It was always going to be an uphill task once you went a goal down.
Once we got by that sort of 10-minute spell, we did start to get on top of things again, and Hamish Ritchie had a couple of efforts, again, from range, but not testing the keeper. Every one of them was going either over the bar or well wide. You know, we have to commend him for taking those efforts on, coming off the left-hand side and trying to hit where he's right. Because as you said, you know, you're going to take those efforts or you'll never score. But at the same time, I think particularly with the second one, I think it was just a little bit more composure, just a little bit kind of, there's that, almost that need of where we have to score here. Just kind of a little bit more composure and just try and find the far corner, the far post, and give yourself a better chance. Almost like what Mulligan had done.
Yeah,
in the cup game, just find the corner. You don't need to blast it. Just find the corner.
I think I'll never criticise him for taking a shot, because there's no point sitting here saying we need to take more shots and then criticising taking the shot. Just the execution, like you said, that's maybe the difference where Hamish Ritchie's dragged his effort, or whether it be McCarthy or Naya Payne, whoever it is, in the Josh Mulligan effort for Dundee, just that little bit of composure. And it's easier saying that now, the other guys that are playing, they've got the pressure of having they won in 3, 4, 5, 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
But just a little bit of composure, you know, you wouldn't need to take so many shots if you just make the keeper work. It's all you can ask, really. If you're taking shots from range, make the keeper save it. Make him into a mistake. Because if he makes a save and parries it right in your striker's path, you've potentially got an easy tap-in. But I'll never criticise him for taking shots unless it goes 40 yards over the bar numerous times. Hmm. But again, you've got to take the shots, and you're just hoping something comes off for you.
And the irony of Richie hitting his shots in the second half, early on in the second half, I think as well. He's had a shot from about 8 yards, I think it is, and he's produced a fine save from Max Curry. So even though we are getting the shots on target, you know, the keeper's coming up with a terrific save.
Well, we're struggling to score, as well, you know, everybody comes up for the last few weeks, and I just get the feeling that once we do take the lead somewhere and we get a goal, it wouldn't then surprise me to see that confidence come back, and then you maybe get 2 or 3 in a game. You're hoping it's got to be within the next couple of matches. Just maybe the pressure getting the players, it's maybe just that anxiety, as you mentioned, the fear, because the form hasn't been good
mm-hmm.
for 2022. And obviously with each game that passes, you think that their shots are going to become further back because they're more anxious to score.
Yeah,
you can just sort of see that creeping in just now as well.
Then Russell McLean came on and he changed the formation, changed the style to I think it was more of a 4-3-1-2, which is a formation that Jim knows well, and that's a formation that it's served him well, particularly in League Two. And it was notable, I think, as well, that once Naya and Rusty were almost as a partnership. You had Naya as the one who was doing a lot of the running, and then obviously the boss was up to Russell. And I think with about half an hour to go, I think even then it was going to be a case that we were going to create even more chances with that as the formation.
It was a partnership that worked well at the start of the season. You know, there was quite a few occasions they would score and assist for each other. And they, as you said right at the top, I'm not quite sure the formation suits the players that you've got now. It's maybe a case of, because we've got Ryan Duncan, we're trying to get a formation to suit him, or Naya Payne if he's on the wide area. But, you know, there's certainly an argument that we're not scoring goals just now, so it's maybe worth going back to a formation that Jim's used to.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it can work, and I think it might be a formation that suits us if we've got, you know, Naya Payne and Russell McLean up front, and that gives you the option of having, you know, Ryan Duncan, Hamish Ritchie in behind to link play up. So I think there is quite a big gap. So certainly I think maybe the next couple of weeks, if there's a change of formation, I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, and I think Airdrie had a huge opportunity to make it too. I think it was Miguel who missed an absolute sitter for it, a breakaway. So although we're bemoaning the fact that Airdrie hadn't played well, they could have really killed the game off and made it, much like the Dundee game, a scoreline that maybe flattered them in the end.
Yeah, I don't think they had anything really to worry about, even at 1-0. 2-0 would have been, you know, icing on the cake for them and completely sealed it. But I don't think they were really ever worried at 1-0, if I'm being honest. I think we created enough in the game or in previous games to suggest that we could come back into it, which, as a supporter, being 1-0 doing at home against a team that hasn't played that great, that's probably a concerning thing that you didn't feel. Yeah, you always feel there's a chance, but when you look at the performance, I felt we could have still been playing till about 7 o'clock on Saturday night and never really gotten anything past Max Curry.
Well, the one we did get past Max Curry, Rusty's chance, a defender just popped up for anyway, which, you know, it's again, he's picked up the ball, a loose ball, and he's run 30, 40 yards. He's done the hard thing, he's gotten by the keeper. Oh, he looks to be just slotted in, and I think it was Craig Watson. It just popped up and cleared it off the line, and that kind of just sums up the way things are going for both sides. You know, the Airdrie's on a really good run, so that kind of things will go for them. We're on a really bad run, and that's the kind of things that will go against us.
Yeah, I think first of all, a confident Russell McLean, I think he would hit that as he's one on one with the keeper, and I think the fact that he takes that extra touch to go past the keeper just allows the defender to get back, and as you said, it's a lot of things. But I generally thought when Russell was bearing down on goal, I thought if he hits it before he gets to the keeper, he could score. You know, I think fully confident Russell maybe outside of the foot, you know, and try and get past him. But he tries to go around the keeper, which, yeah, not a bad idea, but, you know, a defender's got there. And I think even if McLean lifts it into the net rather than on the ground, you score, but small margins.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying how good the performance is, and it is. I do enjoy some of the stuff, but in the end, I think Jim had said himself, it's a results business. You need to start winning games, and I do like a start, so I've got a couple of I do like an Excel spreadsheet as well. But from Saturday's game, we had 14 shots, two on target. Yeah. Airdrie had 4 shots, 2 on target, and scored 1. 58% possession, we had 42% of them, and we've lost the game 1-0.
Yeah,
and that kind of tells you where we're at. Even if you look at the previous two home games against Alawa and Dundee, Alawa game we had 10 shots, 5 on target. Alawa had 6, 4 on target. They've won the game 1-0. Against Dundee, incredibly, we had 14 shots, 7 on target. Dundee had 6, 4 on target, and they won the game 3-0. So over those 3 games, we've had 38 shots on goal, 14 on target. So it's 36% of our shots have been on target. And we've had 16 shots against us, 10 on target, and we've conceded 4 goals.
But the major stat is it's 0 points in the Cup.
Yes, and no goals.
You know, as Jim says, he's fully aware it's a results business. It's okay, him, pretty fit, but a lot of the ball, a lot of chances. But if you're not scoring, you're not winning, and you evidently you're going to run into trouble at some point. You know, I think we're slap bang in trouble now. It's been coming for the last few weeks. We just kind of got a goal scorer. The encouraging signs are we're creating chances. You know, like I said, I do feel that once we get either a win or a goal, something to go for you, that could be a platform to kick on. You know, we did it. Was it last season? You know, we beat Falkirk at home, and that was a platform. Or was it the season before? There's been so many stops and starts. We beat Falkirk just as Miller and McCracken got sacked the couple of days after. But it gives a platform. There was a couple of good results, you know, thereafter as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get the feeling that you're looking for the same again. Just that one result, that bit of luck to go your way. Because you said in your stats there, it's promising signs because you're getting the chances. You're just needing somebody to convert it. And that's why maybe going 2 up top and a slight change of formation wouldn't be the worst thing.
Okay, let's hear from a couple of players. We're going to hear from Naya Payne, but first we're going to hear from Hamish Ritchie.
Hey Hamish, how do you sum up that one?
It's just been the story of the last few games, to be honest. We've been the better team again. Played really well, created a lot of chances. I've got to score my chance in the 6-yard box, and then they've really not created much. There's a couple of mistakes, and I think we've had two real chances the whole game, and they've scored one and missed a seven, so that kind of sums it up.
Does that still give you a bit of confidence, though, that you are creating so many chances against teams like this? But, you know, you're obviously not taking them, but we're still creating a lot of chances.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's going to turn eventually. Like, we've been so unlucky not to score in the past few games, so I think it's only a matter of time before things start to turn around.
Yeah, as you said yourself, you've taken a couple of chances, a couple of efforts. Another day, do they go in?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think on another day they go in, at least one of them, but you've got to take positives from it. At least I'm getting the chances, so hopefully I can turn around.
Probably the biggest chance was Rusty's. Goes by the keeper, but then it's off the line. Does that kind of just sum up how things are at the minute? You know, he's done everything right.
I mean, yeah, he's done well. The keeper's made it, came quite far out, and he's taken a good touch past the keeper, and he's just unlucky with the finish. But no, there's other chances in the game as well, but we're on.
Yourself, you've been playing slightly further forward in the last couple of games as well. Have you been enjoying that role?
Yeah, playing further out wide left. I think I quite like it out there because I can drift inside and seem to get more of the ball out there than you do in the middle, so I seem to be getting in the box more, so I'm enjoying it out there, yeah, definitely.
It's kind of maybe a role we saw as senior last season, playing in that kind of role rather than the deeper role that you have been playing, so are we starting to kind of see the Hamish Ritchie of last season again?
Yeah, I mean, last year I was playing, I think it was on the right, on the wide, and I kind of just kept drifting in, and that's kind of, I think that's probably my most effective position rather than centre mid, but I'm just happy to be playing anywhere.
With the run of fixtures now we've got at the end of the month that's starting at the beginning of next month as well, how do you just kind of keep going and try and find that final edge then?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to take each game as it comes, and we'll just have to keep working our way, and hopefully things will change.
Naya, how's some of that one up then?
Yeah, I'd just say I'm a bit disappointed. Obviously, Edge are a good team and doing well in the league, but I honestly believe we played really well against them. Created opportunities, was a threat, and we defended well in most parts, so yeah, just quite disappointed with the result.
It's probably the second game in a row now that we've probably been the better side, but we've been on the wrong end of the results. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way we're playing and how far we play has improved, and we're getting a lot of chances. It's just the last little bit, the last little thing in the final third, but can't criticise the boys at all, because the way we're playing is magnificent right now, so we just need to just continue what we're doing.
Can you put your finger on what's kind of lacking maybe in that last third?
Maybe slight decision making, but also I think it's a bit of unluckiness, to be honest. I feel like a lot of things we're doing the right things, and it's literally just not coming off for us. Like Hamish had run off the line, and we'll get shots off, and they'll be really close, and we'll work the ball well, but just not happening for us at the moment. But I believe it will.
Yeah, as you say, creating a lot of chances. So is it just a case of just plugging away, keep going, and maybe even one of those chances will go in, just a bit of luck, maybe?
Oh, definitely. I feel like as soon as we get one, we'll spiral on and continue getting, and those continue coming for us, the goals. I just feel like right now we're just in an unfortunate position where the luck hasn't fell for us, but I feel like as soon as that happens, I feel like we'll go on a bit of a run.
As your game has progressed as well, you know, the last couple of games you've been playing up front, how have you enjoyed that role?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, like being the link-up man, getting the ball to feet more. I feel like I do enjoy that wide, getting that play, but I feel like being the focal point, I get the ball to feet a lot more, which I feel like works to my strengths, and then I can also still go in behind and try to run at players. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Is that part of the game that you've been working on, you know, the hold-up play?
Yeah, I feel like obviously I used to play more central in my young years, so I've always been able to quite do it, but I feel like obviously the way we're playing and we're trying to pass through the thirds, I feel like me being up front trying to link the play also helps the team move forward. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
So the guys there, talking after the game, Naya, predictably quite, I wouldn't say happy, but you know, he's still got that kind of happy personality. He's you know, you wouldn't care what the result was. He's quite a happy guy. How do you kind of assess how he's been playing the last couple of games, because he's been playing as that focal point up front?
Yeah, I think the last couple of games he's certainly improved. Obviously, it's a slightly different position for him. I think he's a player that needs runs, you know, a run of games in the team. And I think he is getting that, and I think we're starting to see the benefit of it. It's just like that final end product, but then you could say that about quite a lot of the players. A lot of good play, it's just that final end product. You're just looking for a wee bit more, especially in the wide areas, commitment. Take players on, try and make something happen, rather than I sometimes feel he's too quick to come inside, a wee bit like Ryan Duncan. Yeah, I certainly think the last couple of weeks he's certainly shown us a lot.
Do you think maybe he gets a little bit unnecessary criticism from certain folk because they're focusing too much on the amount of goals he's scored or the lack of goals he's scored? Whereas I think, you know, for me, I like Naya. I think he's a good player. He works hard for the team. And I think in the last couple of games, he's certainly seen him, and he said there as well, he's been working on his hold-up play, and I think he brings players into the game a little bit more as well than what he used to. And I think the confidence within him is growing, as you said, with the more games he's playing as well.
I think naturally when you're going through a period and he's scoring goals, you look at your forward-thinking players and think you look at their contribution. And whilst maybe it would be nice to see Naya chip in with a few more goals, again, you could say that about a few of the guys, but sometimes think he does play up top, maybe not so much obviously of late. Maybe he does get a wee bit of a hard run for certain aspects, but I certainly think over the last couple of weeks he's shown that the quality he's got, and I do think you give him more, you know, a run of games, he'll only benefit from that, and that can only be a good thing for us. Just that, you know, end product of maybe try to get a few more goals or create more chances for assists.
and Hamish as well, spoke to him, and he seems to be playing on a role that we kind of, seems to more suit him. It's maybe back to the, how he was second half of last season, playing further forward rather than that centre midfield role, which I think sometimes he gets a little bit lost in, if he in there.
Oh yeah, I'd absolutely agree. I think he does need to be playing further forward. I did think that last couple of weeks as well, we've been missing that link-up play between your striker and your midfield, and I think he is the ideal player to play that position just behind the striker. Too often he'll be in midfield and he gets lost, or I wouldn't say overawed by the occasion, I just sometimes think that the game bypasses him a wee bit, whereas Scott Brown and Andy McCarthy, they're always there going to boot. I sometimes think that Hamish is, he sees where the danger is, but the ball's gone over his head or it's already past him, which is why I'd like to see him further up the pitch, and again it will help contribute to that goal tally.
One other thing from Saturday's game was Jason Brown's injury. He went down fairly early on in the game. I think it was around about the 10 or 12th minute. He went down, and to his credit, got back up again. And but you could visibly see he was struggling a little bit. And Peter had announced earlier on today that he's going to be out for about 3 weeks because of his ankle injury. It's a big blow. You know, we'll come on to the fact that we've got lack of defenders to cover as it is, but he's still a big player for us. I know he's still young in terms of his age, but his experience within that team is one of the most. He's got the most appearances throughout the team, so it's a big blow to lose him, and just at a time where, you know, he's been given the captaincy a couple of times this season already. He's improving as a player, and this injury just come at the wrong time, not just for him, but I think for the team as well.
Absolutely. He's a player that's showed a lot of maturity this last 12 months. It's never a good time to get an injury, especially the games we've got coming up as well. You need your key players, and you know, Jason's one of them. He's on the first name on the team sheet you know, every week. It's not often that Jason does go down. You sort of count for the physio comes on to, you know, treat Jason that there was something not quite right, and you see him for a good 5 minutes after he wasn't quite walking as you'd expect. We've seen the picture as well. It looks a bad one. Mm. I think he'd be for a minimum of 3 weeks, if not longer. It's come at the wrong time for him as well, because I thought his game was good. He's shown a lot of leadership the last couple of weeks as well. You know, Scott Brown's been out of the team, or playing out of position. A key player, to lose him is, you know, a big blow.
And they've said as well that Jim's hoping to get somebody in, either as a loan or pick up a free transfer before Tuesday's game against Falkirk. I think we sat here beginning of January, I think maybe even in the middle of January, saying, like, you know, where we're going to get, where do we need to strengthen? And I think we did say defensively, we've got Jason, we've got Andy, and we had David Wilson at the time. We've now got David Wilson injured, we've now got Jason Brown injured. All of a sudden, your only centre half you've got is Andy McDonald. So it's okay to say, well, we're going to run with those three. Even if you are playing as a back three, you still look to get somebody as a cover. But it hasn't worked out. Now we're having to kind of scramble about and try and get somebody who, you know, he's either not playing for his club at the Met for whatever reason and try and get him on loan, or if he hasn't gotten a loan from somewhere else because of other reasons, or you're picking up a free transfer, and, you know, if that person's got a free transfer at this stage of the season, there's obviously a reason why there. But, you know, we hark back to what we said. It's okay having all these midfielders and attacking players coming in. Defensively, we were always going to be struggling if this was going to happen.
Very diplomatically put. let's be honest, if there's a player going to be there's a free agent now, there's, with the greatest respect, there's a reason why they're a free agent, you know, towards the end of February. Unfortunately, it might be a situation that we need to explore. Hopefully, you can get a loan deal to come through. Whether it would be through in time for tomorrow's game, I don't know. I think they'd need to be registered, what is it, before 12 on the day of a match, I think it is, if they're going to be playing. So really, you'd be looking at Saturday for having someone in. You know, and even then, they're only going to get a maximum of one, maybe two training sessions. So it'd be difficult to get somebody of quality in just now, and as well as getting somebody in. I think the fact that you've got such big games coming up as well, it's not a good time to get injuries, but it's certainly losing a player of Jason's quality just now is a big blow, as I say.
Yeah, he's going to miss obviously the Falkirk game, the Dumbarton game as we're next to. Then Queen's Park the following Tuesday, Cove, and then we've got Montrose as well. So potentially, and even missing the following week as well. So
it's Alloa, is it?
It's not just. Every game's going to be tough, but at this stage of the season, you want your best players, and to have him missing is going to be a huge, huge blow.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. If you don't get somebody in as well, you'd think that you could potentially put Scott Brown in defence as well, but again, you lose Scott's drive, as we've said numerous times, in midfield. It's back to that situation, I think, where a year ago it's square pegs and round holes. It doesn't work. I think we were thin on the ground defensively beforehand. It just sort of highlights it now. Especially when you go in to tough fixtures and bad form. Just seems to be everything's coming at once. It's like a snowball effect. But having said that, if you go down to Falkirk, all the odds against you, and you pick up something, you never know if it could happen.
As you mentioned the square pegs and round holes, I mean, from Ryan Conroy got injured, you and I both kind of said, well, that's easy. Owen Cairns will come on, he's a right back. No, we're sticking Flynn right back, and then as it turns out, Owen didn't even get on at all. He took off Flynn and put on Jack Brown and put Scott Brown at right back. Where you're thinking, well, I don't understand it. I was going to say I can understand, but I don't understand it. You're losing that one of your most attacking players for the midfield. Owen is obviously an option at right back. Dare I say Rusty could be an option at centre half. I know he has played there once before, it was a disaster, I know, but at this stage of the game you're wanting, you need somebody to be playing under who's got a bit of height. We'd really be struggling, so I'm just kind of questioning as to why we've brought in Owen Cairns and not playing him when it was obvious he could have played on Saturday at right back, and I think there's a possibility he could even play at centre half as well.
I am surprised that Owen didn't start. Got to admit, right-footed player at right-back sort of makes sense. I'm not quite sure why we try and shoehorn a left-footed player. I know that Conroy played there against Dundee, he's left-footed, but Ryan's got a lot more experience than Flynn does. Go back to it, we've got Danny Strachan, but for some reason has been not in the matchday squad over recent weeks. We're struggling defensively, and we appear to have a defender that's, for some reason, we're not using. I don't know why. Again, there just seem to be square pegs and round holes, which certainly doesn't help our case when I think there is better options available to us.
So, as I said, we've got two games this week. Falkirk on Tuesday and then Dumbarton on Saturday. Falkirk coming off just one win in four. They lost to Cove on Saturday. They've lost to Montrose as well in that run, but they did beat Alloa. I guess you could call that it's beating a team round about them in terms of the league placings. But it wasn't going to be a good time to go down there. Anyway, if it was a Saturday, but on a Tuesday night, I just think this could be a real struggle. I think.
Yeah, they're looking forward to it. being brutally honest. Sometimes you go into a game, you think, yeah, we can maybe nick something. This, to me, is nae one of them games. Whilst you never write off a game before it, I certainly think I'm doing the Falkirk on a Tuesday night, regardless of the form that they're in. As you said, one win and four, but you're looking for a bit of luck to go your way. We're not quite getting the rub of the greens at the moment, but having said that, the odds are against us. I don't think there'll be many people expecting us to go down there and get a result. It maybe is the right time to be playing Falkirk. Sometimes when things aren't going for you, you come together as a squad. We've seen that before, start of the season. We didn't win in six games. We then got a decent result and pushed on. So you're hoping for the same again, really.
The positive thing is that they don't have Aidan Keane anymore. He's gone away to Ireland, but Lee Griffiths got 65 minutes on Saturday. I'd expect him to start probably again If not, make an impact off the bench for his home debut. So
still think maybe Russell McLean at centre back up against Steve Griffiths.
Well, it could be a struggle, but you know we did have that. I guess you could call it a morale boosting 0-0 here, and we have beaten them here. But you know, the last four games down there, we've lost 2-1, 2-1, 3-0, and 4-0. It doesn't fill you with confidence.
No, and the fact that you said it was 2-1, 2-1, 3-0, 4-0, based on that, you know, and the fact that we're not scoring as well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a tough evening for us. Again, you try and break the game up into small sections, try and get through the first 15 minutes, get the crowd on their back. You know, are these things going to come as new to the players? It's what you've got to do in away games. You've got to try and make it tricky. Do you sit in to start a wee, but then you invite pressure? The fact that it's square pegs and round holes, it's going to be difficult, but you know, we need to start picking up results from somewhere. Evidently, we're struggling against the teams round about us, so it maybe is the right time to play Falkirk. You just never know.
And I would say those four losses that we've had down there in the last couple of seasons, we've conceded within the first 25 minutes, which is again a theme that we've been talking about
for
3 years doing this podcast, is not conceding early. And then if you go to places like that, I mean, we did it against the Raith Rovers for a while, did it at Falkirk, Park Thistle, I think we might have got away with it there. But you know, going to these kind of places and conceding early is bad enough, but when you're struggling to score goals, I think what I said earlier on about the heads going down, the shoulders going down, and that kind of, oh god, here we go again, would be even worse in an away game.
We should maybe try reverse psychology and say the ideal situation would be conceding the first half hour. You know, see if we end up being 2-0 up. Like I said, it's going to be tough. The guys need to come together as a team. They'll be, you know, fully aware of the position we're in, that we're just slowly sliding down the table. Teams around about us are picking up results. So we've got to start picking up results from somewhere. And as you said, the run of games that we've got to come up as well. On paper, look very difficult, but you know, as we've said before, it's a league where anybody can beat anybody, and on the night you never know if it could happen.
For me, though, I think that the game on Saturday is the more crucial one.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of you know Dumbarton now above us, it's a team that we've got a good record against so far this season, and I hope that continues. But for me, I think the focus, obviously, you want to try and get something out of the Falkirk game, but if we didn't get nothing out of the Falkirk game but win the Dumbarton game, I think I would take that.
Yeah, I'd rather take a defeat tomorrow and beat Dumbarton rather than a draw in both games.
Yeah.
I'd also go as far as, if there's any players carrying little niggling injuries for tomorrow, be inclined, depending on if you can get a team together that,
aye,
you know, to come through the game unscathed, wouldn't it be the worst option? Like I said, I'd rather get the win on Saturday and take a defeat tomorrow rather than two draws, you know, in both games. So it's a big week. You know, there's going to be very little time to look back on games and preview next games. It's, you know, it's going to be three games within a week, which is quite rare in League One. So, you know, it's a crucial week coming up for us.
And there again, a bit like Falkirk, they've only got one win in the last five, and they're a bit inconsistent. They beat Clyde at Clyde a couple of weeks ago, but then lost at home to Alloa. So that kind of just shows you where they're at. And as I said, we've beaten them twice already, 5-0 and 3-2. In fact, the 3-2 was our last win in the league. In fact, I think it was our last win in all competitions,
yeah,
taken away from the draw we East Kilbride.
But that was over 2 months ago now.
Yes, aye. So, no, you know, one loss in six against them. And as I said, I think this is a key one, because after that, we'll have 10 games left of the season, 4 at home and 6 away. You know, we're praising how well we were doing at the start of the season about picking up points at home. That seems to have kind of dried up a little bit. And we're next three, as I said, Queen's Park on the Tuesday, Cove, and then Montrose. Cove's away, I should say, and Montrose at home. Then our next three home ones after that are Falkirk, Queen's Park and East Fife. They're not going to be easy.
Yeah, we said that, you know, the last episode in January, that February would sort of really tell us where we're going to be in the league, barring a really bizarre result tomorrow. I wouldn't expect that to change, and then you're left with a home game against Dumbarton for February. It's tough, and as you said, the results, sorry, the fixtures aren't going to get only easier. And teams round about us are picking up points, but we've got to start picking up points. We've only got ourselves in the park to get out of this situation. I think we can do it. Like you said, your stats, we're creating the chances. We're maybe just not creating the quality of chance. But I do think if we can get a win from somewhere, hopefully it'll be tomorrow, then I feel that we can start kicking on. But I sort of repeat myself, I've been saying that for a wee while now, that you get a result, you can kick on. You're now running out of games fast, and you need to pick up a result from somewhere.
Yep, so hopefully by the time we come back next week, we've got at least, 3 points in the bag. I think anything less than that, well, depending on how much it is, but we might just be, as you said, right in the thick of a dogfight.
I think we're in the thick of it now, to be honest, especially when you've got Falkirk away as your so-called game in hand. You know, it's not an easy game to go to. So I think we've got to be coming back here next Monday with a minimum of 3 points.
Okay, up, fingers crossed, that's how things go then. But that is it for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Wells, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.